بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن أبي أمامة رضي الله عنه قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يأتي يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه. رواه مسلم. وعن النواس بن سمعان رضي الله عنه قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: يؤتى يوم القيامة بالقرآن وأهله الذين كانوا يعملون به في الدنيا، تقدمه سورة البقرة وآل عمران، تحاجان عن صاحبهما. رواه مسلم. This chapter which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah began his book of virtues, the importance of us listening to the virtues of the various amal, and obviously with that is the warnings of doing certain actions, thereby causing us to abstain from that. What we call fadail is greatly stressed in our tablighi nisab, and the listening to the virtues, our book of virtues, fadail amal, this is something that we are greatly encouraged on a daily basis. Establish the halaqat of ta'lim in our masjids, in our homes, out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The elders encourage us 2 hours, 2.5 hours a day. Ijtimai collective ta'lim should be taking place. The purpose and object of that is to create the shauq and inclination towards a'mal within us. And particularly those of us, as I mentioned previously, engaged or involved in the work of Dawat and Tabligh. This is each da'i, each person out in the path of Allah should have an armory with him. Armory not of guns and bullets or of swords and arrows, but an armory of virtues. When you see someone, this is the encouragement that our elders give us. They say, when you see someone, for example, in the masjid, you should be able to tell that person that by when you were at home and the thought entered your mind that, listen, I need to go for salah, what Allah gave you. When you decided to make wudu and you made miswak before that wudu, what Allah gave you. When you read Bismillah and started the wudu, what Allah gave you. When you wash the various limbs of your body while doing that wudu, what Allah gave you. After that, you left your house to go to the masjid, what Allah gave you. On each step to the masjid, what Allah gave you. You made salam to somebody on the way to the masjid, what Allah gave you. When you reach the masjid, before entering the masjid, you read a dua. You send salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On that, what Allah gave you. Now that you are in the masjid, what Allah is giving you. Now that you are waiting for the next salah, what Allah is giving you. And we find that on every one of these actions that I have mentioned in our fadaili a'mal, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam pertaining to that are there. It's a different matter that unfortunately this mindset has entered that we don't take the trouble of learning these fadail and virtues. Shauq, inclination should be created within us. Classical example, for example, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah began this chapter, the first hadith, we discussed it already in length, the first part of the hadith. It's a very brief hadith. The second part, obviously, I mentioned previously that it requires a little bit of detail, which we are going to now discuss. But the point, when you hear this, this is a test or a proof of our iman. How much shauq, inclination does it create within us? Like I said, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah started, فَضْلُ قِرَاةِ الْقُرْآنِ. What is Allah giving you for creating a link, association, attachment with the Qur'an? What is Allah giving you? What is the importance of the daily recitation of Qur'an? What should your connection be with the Qur'an? Because like we mentioned, the beauty of the Qur'an, this is mu'jizatul khalidatul da'ima. This is a mu'jiza and a miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that transcended the boundaries of time. This is khalida, it is daima, it is perpetual, it will remain forever. Like Allah Ta'ala is eternal, the Quran is eternal. Like Allah is eternal, the Quran, which is Allah's sifat and quality, is eternal. And this is such a powerful tool and medium that we were given. لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه. Batil cannot come in front of this Quran, nor can it come from behind this Quran. This Quran is a protection of your iman. It's a protection against batil. It is your companion that will take you right up till Jannah if you will develop the correct relationship with the Quran. To look at it, Allah rewards you. To lift it up, Allah rewards you. To revere and honor it, Allah rewards you. To think about it, Allah rewards you. To discuss it, Allah rewards you. To make tilawat of it, Allah rewards you. To memorize it, Allah rewards you. To practice upon it, Allah rewards you. Such a Quran, such a means, such a powerful tool and medium this ummah was given. Unfortunately, the lament and cry of our elders, aaj Quran ek na aashna peygham ban chuki. They say today the Quran has become an irrelevant message. We take novels seriously, we take newspapers seriously, we take the utterances of politicians seriously, we take a lot of other things seriously. Our degrees and our careers and our ambitions and our goals, we take seriously. The fact of the matter is more serious than all that is the Quran. Because the Quran is the height of truth. There is nothing more truthful than that. وَبِلْ حَقِّ أَنزَلْنَا وَبِلْ حَقِّ نَزَلْ وَبِلْ حَقِّ أَنزَلْنَا وَبِلْ حَقِّ نَزَلْ One place, how truthful the Quran is. If you look at this expression, it's a different matter that unfortunately we don't have the munasabah to the Arabic language. But even if you don't understand Arabic, if you break it down, wa, Allah brings the word waw, wa. Waw can be what we call conjunctive, or it can be qasmiya. It can be a conjunction, joining a noun, etc. Or it can be a qasam and an oath, wa. Inna. Inna is emphasis. Then who? Who is what we call the dhamir, returning back to the Quran. So already, wa, inna, hu. Then lam. Lam again is qasam. Wa innahu la. Four levels of emphasis. Then Allah brings the word haq. Wa innahu la haq. Without a doubt. Doubt everything else, but don't doubt this kalam. Doubt whatever you want at your own. Doubt whatever you want, but at your peril, doubt this Quran. Wa innahu la haq. And then it doesn't stop. Al-yaqeen. Al-yaqeen. Even if you don't understand Arabic, look at the level of emphasis in this. Wa innahu la haqqul yaqeen. Wa tammat kalimatu rabbika sidqan wa adla. This is the height, this is itmam, this is the zenith, this is the culmination of truthfulness and justice. There is nothing more truthful, nothing more just, nothing more an upholder of the principles of justice than the Quran. Break your link and bond with this Quran at your own peril. This is something that has been made accessible to us, and particularly our da'wat, our work of da'wat and tabligh. If you look at the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his entire da'wat was Quran. Whatever he faced, Quran. So this attachment, this bond with the Quran. And Abu Umamah radiallahu anhu, like I said, the first hadith, we already translated it. Abu Umamah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I heard the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, اقرأوا القرآن. O my ummah, read the Quran. As we mentioned, just to reiterate, because a lot of times today many of us get into this habit of thinking about the words rather than actually reading them. Tilawat means your tongue and your lips have to move in salah, obviously you're not going to disturb the next musalli, so you won't be loudly. But outside salah, it has to be audible. You have to hear. Then it is tilawat. So iqra'ul Qur'an, make tilawat of Qur'an. Read the Qur'an. فَإِنَّهُ يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ شَفِيعًا لِأَصْحَابِهِ. Rasulullah s.a.w. said, because without a doubt, this Qur'an will come on the day of judgment. This Qur'an will come on the day of judgment as an intercessor for its adherents. Now what does this mean? That the Qur'an will come on the day of judgment as an intercessor. This is the point which I said needs a little bit of elaboration and detail. But because the same subject matter is mentioned in the next hadith, I'm going to translate the next hadith before we go into the detail of what is meant by this. And in Nawas ibn Sam'an radiallahu anhu, Nawas bin Sam'an radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ, I heard the messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ saying, يُؤْتَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِالْقُرْآنِ. Like I said, same subject matter. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the Qur'an will be brought. Like you bring a person, or like you bring some physical entity, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the Qur'an will be brought on the day of judgment. وَأَهْلِهِ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ بِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. The Qur'an will be brought and its adherents, those who had created a bond, a link, an association with the Qur'an. Who are they? Who are they? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't leave it for us to decide. Who are the people of the Qur'an who has created a bond, an attachment with the Qur'an? He said, كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ بِهِ. كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ بِهِ. Who are the people of the Qur'an? Those who used to practice on the Qur'an. Today, mashallah, to some extent, we find many, many places this shock for hafiz, becoming hafiz, or our children learning and memorizing the Qur'an is there to a very large extent. What we have to understand is when we look holistically or empirically at Quran and Hadith and at the encouragement that is given, where as important as reciting Quran is practicing on Quran, as important as memorizing Quran is practicing on Quran. Matloob and desired in Shariat is not just to read. What is important in Shariat? يَعْمَلُونَ بِهِ. Other ahadith we find, أَحَلَّ حَلَالَهُ حَرَّمَ حَرَامَهُ. Who are the adherents of the Qur'an? Who are the people of the Qur'an? They make halal in their lives what Allah has made halal in the Qur'an. They make haram practically in their lives what Allah has made haram in the Qur'an. To practice on the Qur'an, to implement the teachings of the Qur'an. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, يَنْبَغِي لِحَامِلِ الْقُرْآنِ أَنْ يُعَرَفَ بِلَيْلِهِ إِذَا النَّاسُ نَائِمُونَ وَبِنَهَارِهِ إِذَا النَّاسُ يُفْطِرُونَ وَبِسُكُوتِهِ إِذَا النَّاسُ يَخْتَالُونَ وَبِصَمْتِهِ إِذَا النَّاسُ. Lengthy saying, I'm not going to go into the detail, obviously we've got time constraints, but what is meant by this? He says, it is appropriate, it is a demand that Sahibul Qur'an, the one who has the Qur'an in his heart, and the one who identifies with the Qur'an, he cannot be like everybody else. His night and the night of the one who doesn't have the Qur'an can't be the same. His night is on the musalla in tahajjud. His night is in reciting this Qur'an while others are sleeping. His day can't be the same as theirs. Their day may be in iftar, his day is in sawm, is in fasting. Their day may be spent laughing like hyenas. He will be identified by his silence. He will be identified by his dignity. He will be identified by his mannerisms. If he is a person of the Quran, being Sahibul Quran, with these virtues, being a person of the Quran, this is not a small thing. Inna lillahi ta'ala ahleen min al ard. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, some of you people are Allah's family on this earth. Some of you people are Allah's family. Family of Allah, of the household of Allah. You belong to Allah's household. Man hum ya Rasulullah. Who are these people? He told the Sahaba, hum ahlul Quran. These are the people of the Quran. They are Allah's family. They are Allah's people. They are Allah's representatives. They are Allah's household. This is not literal. But this gives us an idea of the maqam, the status which Allah Ta'ala affords such people. The requirement we can see from this hadith is كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ بِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Who are the sahibul Quran? They are those who not only just made tilawat of Quran, they practiced upon the Quran. They implemented the teachings of the Quran. Today, mashallah, how many Hifz classes there are? Classical example is this masjid. We're not here to run anybody down. Maybe people are living far away, that's why. If you notice the other days of Fajr, when Hifz classes is on, Fajr safs are 3 or 3.5 or maybe 4 safs. On the day, today, Sunday, no Hifz class, suddenly the Fajr majma is halved. So what does it mean? That if you don't have Hifz class, then Fajr is not farz. You don't have to be there for Fajr Salah. Like I said, we're not running anybody down, but this is an indication. What is happening? We're learning the Quran, but the Quran is not coming in the life. Quran has to come in the life. And to be sahibul Quran, all those virtues that are mentioned, ahalla halalahu, harrama haramahu, make halal what Allah has made halal in the Quran, make haram what Allah has made haram in the Quran. So one, tilawat of Quran. The other is this, like I said, the emphasis is not just the memorization of the Quran or mere recitation of the Quran, this is not sufficient, but practicing upon the Quran. That is why we find in this hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, not only will the Quran come on the Day of Judgment, and the person of the Quran, who is the person of the Quran? Look at the beautiful interpretation that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives. He says, Alladhi taqdumuhu suratul Baqarah wa Ala Imran. They will be those people who used to precede their practice on the Quran with Surah Baqarah and Surah Ala Imran. Now why Surah Baqarah and Surah Ala Imran? Because if you look at the whole Quran, generally these two surahs, what do they deal with? They deal with the laws, they deal with the prohibitions, they deal with the basic beliefs. So hence, emphasis on these two surahs. And in associating an individual with the Quran, because the laws and injunctions of Shariat are found in Surah Baqarah and Surah Al-Imran. Inshallah, we'll continue this one.